can I start with a question that I've been thinking about for last week, and I've been waiting to talk to you guys to ask about it.
Can't wait.
In your opinion, which of the four of us is going to die first? And
what a horrible question.
Well,
I've got an answer already locked and loaded, but that's fine. It's something I've thought about before.
But there's a reason for asking, so I'll get your opinion on that, and then I'll tell you the reason for asking.
Okay.
So who wants to go first?
Well, I've got a little an addendum.
I thought you were going to say an announcement. I've got an announcement to make. All right.
I accidentally drank paint earlier.
Yeah, the undercoat is in me. No, I've been, strangely enough, I've been thinking about this a lot recently. Like my own mortality, but because I saw something happen on the roads a couple of weeks ago. And it freaked me out, and so I've been driving Miss Daisy for the last sort of 4 weeks, and it's been it's just been something that's been at the forefront of my mind. I haven't thought about which one of us is going to die first, but yeah, I've been thinking about death a little bit.
Well, if nothing else comes from this. The fact that I'm going to start calling you Jessica Tandy from now on. JT.
We might have a new segment, Tandy Time, where Ben tells us things that he's seen out in the road that frighten him.
He's driving on down to the Piggly Wiggly.
Or just makes racist comments at random.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, for anyone, any sensitive listeners, we're now going to have 2 minutes of Tandy Time, and go, Ben.
Remember, this is culturally appropriate to the time and place of which you are. It does not. Tandy's views are not endorsed by the recorders of this podcast.
All right. Well, Matt, you said you had an answer. What was that?
Yeah, I don't know if I want to answer this question, but.
Well, okay.
It's a real bummer of a question. Right. I just know statistically, if we can go cold, hard facts, there's only one person involved because people who are over the height of 6'2" tend to die young. That's all I've got to say on
that. That's all right. That's not an opinion. That's not or a desire. That's just a stat.
Yeah. I don't like the stat, and I want to move past this quickly.
All right.
Well, I think that I think there's a bit to be said for BMIs as well. I think I'm putting myself right in that Venn diagram right there as well. Fucking hell.
Challenge accepted.
The reason I'm asking is because, you know, we are getting older. And I'm not suggesting any of us are going to go soon, but it's better to have this conversation earlier rather than too late, right?
Mm.
Yeah, okay.
We're really fucking old. Have you realised that, like, recently? Just go,
yes.
Holy shit, like, late 40s now. It's not even kind of 40s, you kind of go.
It's not even early 40s.
We're knocking on 50s door.
Yeah.
Like, it'll be here before we know.
We had a Christmas party at our house last night, and everyone left by 9 o'clock. So that's where we are in life.
Wow.
Started at 3, everyone out by 9 o'clock.
Mish and I were going to go out because my wife works for herself and therefore doesn't get a work Christmas party. So I'd take her out for a work Christmas party every year.
Mm-hmm.
But we couldn't be asked going anywhere. So I just bought some cheese and we ate it on the lounge.
Did you both have a nice time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Buckland, I think I could imagine you doing that at any age. Anytime cheese is involved, like if you told me that 20 years ago, I'd been like,
I'd rather go out to a restaurant if it's a choice between that and just honking onto cheese on your lounge, but it's a close second.
I guess that's where we are in age, where I'm like, I don't understand your reasoning there, Buckland. I'd be sitting at home eating cheese.
Kind of opposite end of the spectrum. I didn't get home till 4 o'clock this morning and was out at the late opener in, the only late opener in Mildura. And so I was affectionately referred to as the old bloke in the bar. You're looking around, you're like, holy shit, I'm literally the oldest person in this room.
You're the old bloke muttering to himself at the bar.
I'm the creepy old bloke. Yeah. This is exactly it.
You didn't have a book, did you? You weren't reading a book by yourself in the corner. No, don't trust those people. Stay away from the old bloke reading in the corner.
So you're fine.
I had my overcoat and my tweed trousers on.
I was going to say, did you have a knitted vest on?
Those glasses that can tint to be sunglasses if you go outside.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So, but you, that sounds like you're fighting against feeling old.
Mm. Well, I was just, it's a very rare thing for me to go out anywhere. Like, you know, but it was just that thing, that moment of, holy shit, I'm pretty old to be out still doing this. Like, because there was not very many old people out and about at 3 o'clock in the morning in Mildura, let me tell you.
Yeah. All right, we're getting off track a little bit. I want to come back to the reason why.
Who's dying? Yeah, sorry.
not who's dying, but like.
Have you done your bow screen? Is this what we're.
You get a result. Yeah.
Bow screen was fine.
Bow screen. Oh, good idea.
Actually, that's an update we need from you. Sorry for use of word update, but that's something we need to check in on with you two guys.
Tied in with my health corner.
All right, we'll go there in a second. The reason I'm talking about who's dying and bringing that up is because we need to actually talk amongst ourselves here about how we're going to deal with funerals.
Oh.
Because...
Is this a new sponsor?
No, this is...
Yeah, no, that is a shame. That would have been amazing, Buckland, if you had
that
said...
That would have been fucking...
White lady funerals that just do white such lady. A good job.
No, I was thinking about the other day...
I'm kind
about...
of sad that's not the case now.
I
anyway,
know,
carry
I'm
on.
Sorry.
Use the code TALLPEOPLE for 10% off.
Use the code TANDY.
TANDY time.
TANDY time, yeah. Sorry, Buckland.
Because I was thinking about, like, our weddings and how, like, obviously a wedding is a joyous occasion, but we've been quite silly at weddings, right? Mm. Bit of silly behaviour. And I'm just trying to get a feel for where we think the line might be when it comes around to funerals.
Well...
Like, for example, Jesus. Matt, you and I, at Ben's wedding,
we're
doing a lot of bad sexual innuendos and then... A lot of loud
being the genie
gurning,
from Extras.
Being Ricky Gervais's genie from Extras. Like,
that's all we did. All day.
So is that kind of stuff? Or, like, you know, we all put comedy on a bit of a pedestal. So I think I'd be happy for people to be making silly jokes at my funeral. But, you know.
I think on the graph of age versus silliness, I think that there's a line coming up. So the earlier and more tragic the death, the less the silliness must be.
Right.
I think after 60, go hell for leather. I think that like 60, 65, that's a good life. You know, you've got most of what you want to done and that's all right. I think we're kind of hitting the point where you can get a little bit of silliness going in your funeral.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've already talked to Justine about this. Like, what I would prefer is that the funeral go for about 3 minutes and the wake go for 7 days.
3 weeks.
Right. That's the key for me. It's like, but no, I don't want any seriousness. None.
No, that's what I mean.
It's not welcome. Not welcome.
No, no. It needs to be a celebration of life. Like, that's what
And if one of you are dying, I'm crossing many lines.
Oh, like, please.
I'm bringing the wrong speech.
I'm crossing the strings.
I'm saying they've written a speech for me to read, and then it's just going to be filled with swearing. Yeah. Like, whatever it is, it's going to be in horrible taste.
There might even be some puppet work if there's a.
I'm just literally going to quote Ghostbusters for probably 45 minutes, just reenact all my favorite scenes.
Excellent.
Yeah. Okay, so we're all on the same page there. So. Yep. I want us to just make sure that we tell kind of family members.
Wigo, are you in the same boat? You didn't contribute there.
Oh, no, I'm...
You want us to read a psalm?
I want complete ridiculousness.
Okay.
Like, I would like everyone to come dressed as clowns. That'd be great.
Yeah.
I think they should come as elves on a shelf. We can see everyone there. Has to dress up
no
as an elf.
Way.
Does everyone dress as clowns?
I'll be turning in my grave.
I think as we're pallbearing... I think someone's got to be crushing up tubes just for us to walk over with the... Anyway.
Can it be a ridiculously long coffin?
Manute
needs 12 style. People.
Yeah.
You just got, like, instead of the confetti at a wedding, you've got someone just throwing tubes under the crowd. As you pass.
Oh, can someone mow around the grave, please?
Oh, there we go.
With an unnecessary ride-on mower.
I was going to say a hand mower.
Oh, artisan.
Yes, a hand mower is good.
Yeah. I think you need a 21 mower salute and just have 21 dads just pulling the ripcord simultaneously.
All right.
Amazing.
Sorted that.
All right. That's sorted.
We don't
Thank
need
you.
White lady funerals. We could do dad funerals.
Yeah. Dial a dad funerals.
Yes. Yeah, look at Wiggins' face.
Yeah, there we go.
It's just career pivot instantly.
There's got to be good money in that, surely.
Absolutely.
Though. Absolutely. Like, come out and the dialer dad gives the service like, all right, you know this bloke. Yep. What? You don't need me to stand up here telling you about him.
No.
You're here because you knew him. So is the bar open? Let's go.
So my uncle's funeral a few yep. months ago, the first person got up and said, here's what he wanted to say. I'm not a religious person. None of that. Thanks. And then everyone bought it. Like, rather lay flowers, you got a TAB slip and you put it on his coffin. So that's the kind of stuff.
Not live ones.
I don't know if you could. I mean, you probably would have liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah. If it had like a tote running next to the coffin, looking for the
that's
omen
showing,
bet.
That's
look
showing
omen bet, everyone.
Yeah, real reverence if you put a yeah. live one on there.
You got to put the fart machine in the coffin, surely, is one of the services.
Excuse I.
Yep. Excuse I.
All right.
Excuse I funerals.
Excuse I. All right. This is.
I black hat it for a second, though.
Oh.
That the funerals aren't for us, essentially. Like, you know, not for the dead person. They're for the ones left over. So I think we need to consider probably
the impact on the children.
As our immediate family. Like, it's all fun and games.
That's why I said we're all on the same page now. It's okay. We have to spread that.
That's I would agree. I would suggest that's. Other people's job.
Yep.
That's not your three. Yep. That's not your consideration. That's other people's consideration. That would be my request.
I think I would like to tell all three of you that my family are happy for you to crack as many jokes as possible, but I've never talked to them about it, and you just come and start being horrible. And
yeah. Well, I just know that there'll be an appalled silence, and then my brothers would be laughing. Yeah. And if my dad was still there, he would be... making notes.
I think my family would expect nothing less.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. The other people will take care of, you know, feelings of others.
I'd be distributing a bingo card. Jessica Tandy references.
Ben, as you're being lowered Chase. In, yep. there should be Chase. Like a recording that plays that goes, all right, you can get a dog now.
Now, that's the first thing we say, that one of us would say.
Congratulations, Lindsay and children.
Yes, you can get a dog.
You can get a puppy. Yeah. Here's your puppy.
Here's your puppy.
What's its
that's
name?
What you get for marrying a tall man.
This is Dad Pants. It's your December Dad Pants. It's a Christmassy Dad Pants.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas.
Merry the Christmas.
Seasons, greetings, and all that sort of stuff. Rich is back with us. Hello, Rich.
G'day, boys. How are we?
All right. Love frazzled teacher Rich well. Is clawing his way to the end of the year. Mm. Ben's there. Ben, hello.
Hello, boys. Lovely to see you.
And Matt, hello.
Here we go.
Hello.
Hi, Matt.
Let's get into some recaps, check-ins, dadicdotes, dad fashions, you know, the dadmin that we got to do here on this podcast. I think it's important right up the top to tell everybody that there's officially been an investigation launched into the bomb website's budget blowouts.
Yes.
So dad retribution is happening. Mm. People are going to pay. And it really it pissed me off, really, thinking, because $96 million they spent on that. Bomb website Jesus. Refresh. They can spend $96 million on that website, but they can't throw a few thousand dollars to sponsor a hyper-targeted podcast that's been lauding them for 3 or 4 years now.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely outrageous.
Disgusting.
They didn't even run it. If they had to run it through us,
yeah,
save the money.
We could it could have been $97 million. We could have just shaved a mil straight off there.
Said, don't do that. Leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
Thanks very much.
Yeah. We'll take $1 million just to tell you that.
Yeah. Stop this. You've spent $5 million. Stop. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Just some recaps and check-ins. Can I get a Derek check?
I have a Derek update.
Derek update?
Yep.
The wizard.
The wizard he's gone a hedging. So all of the hedges that were overgrown are now sitting on the front lawn ready to be collected.
Wow.
The light is shining through. My solar panels are just smiling. Derek has gone to town.
It sounds Derek's like this sounds like a new verse of A Night Before Christmas. Is Derek's gone a hedging?
Got a hedging.
That's right.
Derek has gone to town.
Well, he has. He's done a magnificent job. So it's 5 out of 5 for Derek.
He hedges when you're sleeping. Right. He mows when you're awake.
All right.
They'll expose your panels, for goodness sake.
But the question is, what time was that hedging happening?
Mm.
That was happening at, what was it, 6 o'clock? 6 p.m.
P.m., thank you.
Yep, sorry, not an a.m., it was a 6 p.m.
All right.
I got home from work and saw this big chunk of hedge out the side of the house and was like, what is going on here?
Elf on the Shelf's in full swing. Can we get a gauge on the mood in the house?
My mood is fine. I have to play security guard of an evening. Right.
Shouldn't Rose be the security guard?
Well,
he's had practice. Yeah.
He has. It's hard to get those boys to do anything at the moment outside of whatever it is they want to do. And Rose has been going a bit a little bit later. So all of the activity has been pushed to a later time frame, which is frustrating.
Mm.
But yet again, I'm not involved outside of, you know, a very... very small security piece of work.
Well, that's why I asked about
9 to 10.
The feeling in the house rather than your specific feeling. So is the tension high? Is the
Rose is just ecstatic every morning.
Yeah.
Lynn's is frustrated and is in bed at like 8:30. Like just sort of like, I need to have a rest and wait till Rose goes to sleep so I can put this thing together.
Yeah.
So there is definitely a level of frustration there. I don't know how long this is going to go on for, to be serious.
You don't think it was
in how many years or how long?
How many
days? Because it will finish at Christmas.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I understand that, but I'm thinking like time frame-wise, like years and years and Christmases and Christmases.
Yeah.
I just don't know because I think Lynn's is too – Lynn's enjoys it too much from the memory's point of view and that interaction, whereas Rose – might get to the point where she knows it's not necessarily real, but will play along.
This is a big thing. This is a big thing on the Elf on the Shelf sites, like the teenage version ones of it. It all gets a little bit blue with the elves as they get older and a bit more interesting. Like we're talking hot tubs with the Barbies and all that kind of stuff and a bit of dancing action going on. So.
But we did. I did this in with a year 8 class the other day where we talked about like how old were you when you found out and how did you find out? And I reckon half of the kids said they found out when they were about 9 and they still played along for another 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, I think when I found out, I thought I might get into trouble and not get presents if I...
That's right. They thought maybe that would be the end of it. Yeah. So, I don't know. Just do some investigating.
You know, when you're a kid and you think you might get into trouble for having critical thinking.
Yeah.
Yep.
Questioning your parents. Yes, that's all very true.
All right, Rich, I think you know what I'm going to ask.
We're all here for it.
Have you cracked the first one?
Number two.
Yeah,
first one's done. We're on number two.
You.
Doing well. Good. I've tried an Audi ham this time around. The old Audi triple smoked. And I've got to say, I was very, very impressed. It was a deliciously tender. It was a lovely... the texture of the meat was superb.
Yeah. German boar from the Black Forest, Teutonburg Forest.
What the hell? Yes. German boar ham is exactly what we're having. No, it was, as I say, texture wise and flavor wise, some of the best. So
wateriness.
Zero. The only thing I will say is the first one had quite a large seam of fat and it had a bit of a, we got the, you know how you get the fat that runs under the side of meat?
Yeah. So
kind of the river.
Yeah. That was a big one, but the meat on that, I think that what that enabled was that deliciously smooth texture for the meat running all the way through to the bone. So
do you think there should be a sticker on the packet if the fat seam is above a certain percentage?
Interesting. I'm all for the fat seam. I don't think
I was going to say. Would you buy it? Is there a sweet spot of fat seam?
There is absolutely a sweet spot of fat. Like you know, you don't want to go too low on your fat seams.
I've got my title, fat seam sweet spot. Thank you.
But then at what point do you tip over, Ellis, into excess fat seam?
Mm. Oh, well, this is the thing. You don't want to be, that's where your wateriness comes into it as well.
Mm.
It's not a healthy animal, you know. You're not your frolicking wild German boar in the forest. You're talking about some cap slug fucking Peppa Pig wannabe sitting there with his, yeah, it's just, nah, don't want that. You know, you just want a festively plump.
Yeah.
Mm.
Can we call the episode Peppa Pig Couch Slug? Wow. Mm. So ham two, and you got any locked and loaded afterwards?
To be honest, I think this will be the last one this year. I think I need to cut down on my sodium levels, if nothing else.
So not even for Christmas Day.
I just think you guys have got a secret bet on when I'm who's going to be the first to die based on ham consumption.
You'll get three separate hams delivered around Christmas just from each of us, each higher in sodium. That's why we're asking about fat seams and how.
There's a fat seam, yeah. Yes, oh yeah. What's the fat seam going to do?
What's the upper limit of sodium and fat seam that you would eat?
Oh, I'll still eat it regardless. Yeah.
Salty Ellis.
No, we've just cracked the second, so that should that'll take us through to Christmas Day.
Hmm.
So,
all right, very good. Can I tell you just a little dad theory I had this morning at the shops?
Hmm.
So we all know there's surge pricing in holidays for petrol.
Yeah.
Right? Because they want to gouge as much money out of people when they know they're going to be driving off at holiday time, right? I reckon there's some toilet paper price gouging going on right now as well, because no toilet paper was on special at all at the shop this morning. Usually there's one brand on special. They rotate through them, right?
Yeah. Mm.
No toilet paper on special, because they know people are going to be coming to your house and shitting.
Yeah.
And you're going to need that toilet paper whether it's on special or not.
Yep.
So that's
eating ham and shit.
The ham's on special, so they can jack up the price of the toilet paper.
They're in cahoots.
It's just
the peak farmers and the toilet paper producers are all in the
Ellis
the one
is looking
property.
It up. It's owned by the same company.
Intricate web of price deception.
Yeah,
and I look.
I think what toilet paper you should buy anyway is that Who Gives a Crap is a fantastic product.
Agreed.
That's true. I actually have a big box of it in my what do you call it? Cupboard, I suppose. that was a brain fart right there, wasn't it?
Buckland's just come into the lead here.
Forgot what a cupboard was.
I've got two boxes. Our bathrooms are full. And I've got a full box of Who Gives a Crap in the shed.
It's
COVID times, stockpiling.
I can't go back. They make the toilet paper out of bamboo.
Yeah.
I can't go back. This is not an ad for Who Gives a Crap, but this is just a personal. But even if we do an ad for them, they pay us in poo paper, that would be well worth it.
Mm.
Yes. If you've never had this bamboo poo paper on your bot, you really need... Just try it. Sample it somehow.
Come to my house.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to be buying... any other toilet paper that's not on special. I'll tell you that much.
Why would you?
Yeah.
Have you seen what they're talking about there? In America, they've started doing the electronic price tagging so they can... And the fear is that they'll start doing surge pricing on products.
Yes.
So, you know, you can actually... It'll change price between when you pick it up off the shelf to when you actually... Go and purchase it.
Right.
Anyway, that was just a thought.
I got distracted because when you said surge pricing then, I just imagined a Slavic man with a pricing gun going through the supermarket changing the prices.
There's a Beverly Hills Cop reference in there somewhere.
Ah, well.
All right. I've got a little RDT thing to throw at you, and I want you to tell me if I'm taking it too far or whether this is fair enough. Now, recently, we've talked a bit about, well, we always talk about RDT, but we've talked a little bit about dad crime.
Mm.
And this is a bit of a mix of both. So I don't think one dad should ever say to another dad. We'll get there about 10 o'clock.
Mm.
Or we'll be there a little after 11 a.m.
Yeah.
Mm.
That does nothing for a dad. That does nothing for RDT.
Yeah.
Do you think this is something we should wipe out? Like, just a... It's a language thing, but it's just... we shouldn't be doing that to each other.
What brought this on, Stu? What was the incident that brought this to the forefront of your mind?
When to pick one of my kids up. So yes,
okay, so it was around 10. What does that mean? 10:57?
Yeah.
Or does that mean 9:42?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had an example probably even more vague than that where we had
Thursday?
One of Georgie's friends came over. And he was here and was like, oh, well, come and get him this afternoon. It's like, well, I should fucking hope so. But, but what would your imagining for this afternoon be if they got dropped off at 12:30, 1 o'clock? Which is an awkward time to drop someone off, I might say.
Absolutely. Anyway. That's right in the middle of lunch.
Well,
is it not lunch?
It has to be before dinner. So
4:30?
Yeah, 4:35 is, you know. And I mean 4:30, 5 o'clock, not 4:35. Otherwise, you would just say 4:35.
Yeah.
I'll be there.
Yeah.
Well, that would help.
7:45.
Well, that's not the afternoon.
And I was like, what's going on here? Like, you know, it was a weird moment. I'm all for accurate RDT.
Yeah.
I am specific.
I'm shocked. That's a sleepover.
Yeah.
Nearly.
It is a sleepover. Yeah.
And there was no kind of contact or kind of, I'm just sitting there going, and Tony went to work. She's like, I'm going to go to work. And I'm like, what am I going to do with this kid? Like, he's just here.
He's yours now.
I was like, I never met him before. And he's moved in.
7:45. That's unacceptable. Yeah, I think
I think 6 o'clock is.
Well, yeah.
I'd say 5. I think 5 is a reasonable.
What about the reverse, Ellis? What about the reverse when someone says, I'll drop them off in the afternoon and doesn't drop them off till 7:45? Is that better?
Oh.
No, worse.
Worse.
Let me think about that.
At what time would you stop them at the door and go, no, too late, turn around, leave?
Well, I think there's that issue of I've now spent the entire afternoon in my house waiting for
you. Yeah, it's like the delivery person saying, we'll be there between 10 and 2 and just getting there at 1:59.
That's right.
Mm.
This is why I bring this up, because no one's thinking about dads having to be on standby all the time.
Well, it's funny you say that. My father asked me today, we're driving up there next week, and he said, what time will you be arriving?
Yeah. Oh.
My response was, Dad, you know. Or what time are we leaving here? So he can do the maths from there.
Yeah.
And I said, why are you asking me that? I can tell you what time I want to leave. It's not going to be the time we leave.
Yeah.
So what do you want from me? He was like, yeah, okay. I said, I want to leave at 8. We might leave before 10. That'd be the goal.
Jeez, that's a window. Fuck, that's a window.
How many lounges need scotch guarding?
Yeah, there'll be scotch guarding. There'll be a new thing. There'll be a walk or something. There'll be something that has
got
to happen.
Got an undercoat. Yeah. Undercoat all the traves.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got to mow a lawn that we don't have. We might have to trim some hedges. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff that could happen based on when I want to leave. And I'll have to say to my wife, we're at the age now where I have to say, I want to leave at 8 o'clock. And that is 8 o'clock, not a trick to get you to leave by 9 o'clock.
Mm.
We have to go that way. But we shall see. But also, it's not an airport. So I don't... That's what time I'd like to leave, but I'm not that. I won't be that fussed. I'll be pissed off because that's what you always do when you're leaving for a trip. But I just know that's part of it. It's not worth, as I've learned at 47, it's not really worth making people cry.
Especially when you're about to spend 4 hours in a car.
It's not worth it.
And you know you're going to feel like a dick in about 10 minutes.
Yeah, and I will feel like a dick. I've learned from experience of like, oh, yeah, why did I do that? A lot of quiet, like the first hour of the trip, very quiet. I don't need that.
So my question to you, Matthew, is that now that you are speaking to your wife in like very clear terms in regards to time frame,
yeah,
what have you planned for that hour/hour and a half as your backup, rather than waiting for the child to be dropped off, if you will? Like, so,
oh, well, there's no plan, because she might be ready at that time. Like, that's the thing. Because, well, she knows that the communication's there, what time I actually want to leave, then she knows. And then what tends to happen is there are three of the family sitting in the car waiting for mum to get in the car, and where that's part of the experience now. And the other thing is, we're driving up the coast a few days before Christmas. Real dad time doesn't exist.
No.
Because there's traffic. That's got nothing to do with when we leave or all of that stuff. There could be an accident, whatever it is. That's why for these trips around Christmas, there's no point in really sticking to, like I said, it's not an airport. We could leave at 8 o'clock and it still take us 7 hours to get there.
Yes.
Or we could leave at 10 o'clock and it takes 4 hours. Like, it, you just,
you're doing your own dad more damage by giving an approximation.
Exactly. And that's what I said to him. I will text you when I'm leaving. What difference does it make to you? Like, is he going to be waiting?
That was
going to
be my next question. Yeah.
And that's irrelevant as well, as you say.
We've heard what he's like when he's waiting.
I know, but it's not waiting for anything. It's not like we've got an event that's the following day. We'll be there by Sunday, 12 o'clock. We leave at 8 a.m. on Saturday. That's the goal.
Arriving between 12 Saturday and 12 Sunday.
12 Sunday, yeah.
So are you saying that you've got a sympathetic view to people who do approximate to dads?
It depends what the situation is. As I was saying, like, there's a lot out of your control driving anywhere around Christmas. So I'm just not hung up on the leaving time. I say that, check in with me at 8:01 on Saturday. Smoke coming out my ears.
Well, that's what my question is.
Yeah, go on, please.
Sorry. And yes, we can put that time in to leave at 8. There's probably an expectation that there might be a period of time where you guys are sitting in the car. So rather than just sitting in the car,
it's part of the process. We go.
Okay.
Justine gets everyone in the car. Come on, kids, we're in the car. Let's go.
It's a Christmas miracle.
Oh, so that's a Justine prompted situation.
It's time to go. Okay.
And then you guys are in the car for however long it might be. Okay. Cool.
What I might do is start a timer from when. All right, it's time to go. And then I can report back to you.
That's good. Don't report back to her.
No. But just as an exercise of how long that is. So that's built.
Oh, we can do an over-under. Yeah. Outstanding.
Absolutely.
Well, I guess we'll hear about that next episode. I did flag last episode, and you can tell me if you've got anything for this. Have you got any Cold Wars going on in your house? That's where, you know, there's something going on in the house. It's not really spoken about, but it's clearly a battle of some kind that people, like, we all know it's there, but we're just not talking about it. You got anything like
that? I don't know about if it's a war, but we've definitely got the, I've got a simmering resentment, which is building.
Well, that sounds like the Cold War. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it's kind of the fact that We got the new fridge with the water tank in it, so it's not plumbed in, but it's got like the water facility. It has to be manually filled.
Mm.
And so we filter all the water before we put it in there. And then we've also got another big 8-litre filter jug inside the fridge as well.
Right.
So the idea being that you can get a glass of water from the spout at the front and you can fill up your drink bottles from the big tub in the back.
Huh.
Watching people fill their drink bottles with the glass at the front. And then literally not another person has ever filled up either of the tanks inside it except for me.
Ugh.
Despite the fact that I sit there and there's constant mention that, you know, I do it all the time. No, you don't. Because if you did, I wouldn't be doing it all the fucking time. Like, you know, we're talking about this 14 litres of water. Yeah. It's not going to be done all the time. Like, you know, it's every kind of...
We're not that hydrated.
So it has to be done. This is exactly right. No one else is doing it in between. So that's
so
my.
How passive aggressive do you want to get? Are you going to let everyone?
Well, I'm not saying anything. It's one of those ones I'm forcing myself to let go, but it's just it's getting my goat.
I just meant like not doing it, like just seeing how long.
Oh, no, it's not worth it.
Need water.
I can't do that. Like But also, it's just the thought of an empty water receptacle anywhere in the house just fills me with some kind of existential dread.
Well, I'm like what that if, with...
What if the wall comes and we don't have any water filled up in the fridge? Like...
Well, I'm like that with the cat's water bowl. I feel like I'm constantly filling it up and the only one doing it. And I have walked around and kind of... It's not really a mutter when you make sure you say it loud enough for everyone to hear, but going... Weird how I'm the person who spends the least amount of time in this house, but I'm always filling up the cat's water. It's weird how I'm always the one who happens to see it when it's empty. Bizarre that. Anyways. Yeah, but the one I had that kind of made me want to bring this up is windows. We've got a real cold war going with windows. Because I love having windows wide open. Mm-hmm. My wife loves having them shut.
Right.
All the time. But do you think we've ever had a direct conversation about when a window should be open and when it should be shut and reaching a compromise? Mm. Not on your Nelly. I'll come in, I'll throw all the windows open, I'll, you know, go off and do something else, I'll come back, they're shut. So I'll open them again, and then, you know, this is, happens over the course of a day or a night, or but it's just an ongoing thing where if I open a window, I never shut a window. They're always shut. They're always shut by someone else who seems to take offense.
Oh, so that's not your side of the problem, being that you can open a window but you have no capability to shut a window. It's the fact that someone actually comes and shuts them before
you get a chance.
I've never
needed to shut a window.
Yeah.
So I get the feeling that people probably have these kind of things in their relationship, though, where, you know, we'll talk about X, Y, and Z, but I don't have the capacity to open up a new battlefront on this particular topic. So we'll just, you know, it'll all be subterfuge, Cold War style. Just nothing done out in the open, just all back channel opening and closing
negotiations.
Windows.
Well, like, what's the problem with, you like to have the windows open to get all the fresh air in?
Yes.
And the other angle is what? Have the aircon on all the time or like?
Well, I think it's probably sometimes it's a difference in what we feel an optimal house temperature is.
Oh, that's going to be a problem when as our wives age into a point where heat and they generate way more heat or hot all the time.
But I have, again, me being an awful person, have uttered the phrase, I don't understand what someone could have against fresh air.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I'm always with you there.
See, you need to move to Mildura, Buckland, because air conditioning relies on open windows.
Yeah.
So, because we've got the
what's it called? The swampies. Reverse cycle.
Oh, I see.
Condenser? No.
Nah. It is, but yeah, I can't even think.
The thermal labyrinth.
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what it's called at school.
Wow.
The school I worked at that didn't have aircon because it was built, designed to have a thermal labyrinth. Doesn't work. Doesn't work in an enormous school.
Oh,
Dad. Shut the windows when it tells you and open them when it tells you. But then that requires you being at school at night when you get there.
Oh, my God.
Or every window needs to be open or every window needs to be shut in an enormous school at the same time. Like, it's all just... But that's what it was called, thermal labyrinth.
Nice.
You remind me of a dad.
Now, I've got a sidebar to this, Buckland, which at first will not seem to make any
sense.
Sorry,
I'm just picturing David Bowie walking around a school.
Yeah, exactly right.
What dad?
Playing with his balls.
I was trying
dad
to find
dad with a
it.
Window. What window? A wide open window.
So the question I have is home and away style, do you sleep on the same side of the bed? This is a question asked at work the other day.
Yes. And
wherever you go, do you sleep on the same side?
No. It is always door dependent.
Yeah, see, I this is where it links to what you're saying, Buckland, is mine is always window dependent. I sleep closest to the window, which apparently I get from my mum, who does the same thing. Needs fresh air when you sleep.
I would love to be a window side. Because that might solve a bit of the problems, right? But unfortunately, window side is furthest away from the door side. Uh-huh. And apparently, I need to be closest to the door because I get up so early, it's less for me to walk and make noise on the way out.
That could potentially work. Do you wake up and put tap shoes on? What's going on?
Go to bed in tap shoes.
Do you leave pots and pans on the floor of your bedroom?
There you go. Yeah. Mouse traps all over the floor for you to negotiate?
See, I've been told explicitly that I must sleep closest to the door in case someone comes in and attacks us. I'll be the first one to be killed. So my wife also has bets on me being the first one to go as well. So.
Yeah, going first, yeah. Yeah.
So that's the explicit reason why I must sleep closest to the door. Is
yeah.
A security method to everyone.
What about you, Wigger?
I think we haven't actually had this conversation, but my thinking is that Lynn's prefers to be closest to the ensuite.
Hmm.
And so, therefore, she sleeps on that side of the bed.
Right.
But then when you're away, you just hold...
Pretty much. Like it's very... I'm just trying to think about... Yeah, I think it's same.
Hmm.
Has it been a lot of middle of the night urgent bathroom issues?
No, it's just a... It's just one of those things. Yeah. Like, I don't care.
Security,
yeah.
Like
and
a
she
security
has
blanket.
A preference.
It
so.
Sounds like a Cold War.
Yeah, toilet's just there.
Lukewarm war.
Yeah.
No one knows why. This is what we do.
Tepid war.
Tepid war.
Yeah, she has a preference and I don't care. So
tepid war.
Yep.
All right. Well, maybe we should have a break.
Hmm.
I haven't got an ad this week. I do have one, but we're going to go on for fucking ages here if I get into that. And no one's buying the shit anyway, so.
Of course, at the party last night, I walked out the back and she's just in turd talk.
Yeah.
Like, how can we get here? Like, oh, we're just talking about blah, blah, blah. And
well, I'd like to find out
talking about turds.
Whose idea was it to make the paper out of bamboo? You know?
Mm.
What's the history of that?
Yeah. Bamboo
anyway,
toilet paper.
To be discussed.
Mm.
The correlation between pig farmers and toilet paper producers.
That's right.
We're through the looking glass here, people.
And we're back. And I should say, you can still buy things using the DP time code. You can still go to pinsandaces.com, buy stuff there, and you can still buy leather gloves if you live in the US and Canada.
Yep.
From that place Tremendous. Whose name I can't remember right now. Anyway. I got to say, your story last episode, Ben, about the 10 p.m. Mo from the neighbor, Derek, has affected me a lot. And we've done a bit of dad talking offline about this sort of thing. And Matt came up with the term, that's why we need a Mo council, right? That's just much like you guys are the pants panel distributing the dad knowledge. We need to bring Mo issues to Mo Council. So I haven't warned you about this, but does anyone have anything they want to bring to Mo Council before we move on to other things?
Well, can we discuss the thought of how low you should mow your
how
grass?
How low can you mow?
Yeah, how low
in
can
December?
You mow? Yeah.
Mm.
And how often? What's the...
Yeah,
I was reading something the other day, and they were saying twice a week, and I'm like,
"Oh, come on, now
that's a lot." But for healthy lawn and as I say during the growing season, apparently it promotes the if you're not catching. So,
well, I was telling Jazz because I told her about Mo Council, and she immediately was like, "Are you talking about moustaches?" And I was like, "No,
oh no,
God, sweet little lesson." She was saying, like, well, why didn't he just wait till after it rained and mow later in the week? I'm like, I reckon this guy's probably got three mows. Like, now and then in a couple of days, like, three pre-Christmas mows happening from, like, the 11th to the 24th. She was like, three? And I'm like, yeah, I reckon every 4 days. if it's raining and it's hot.
Yeah, that's it.
Well, I am. I'm
she,
definitely.
She said, "Why don't you just let it grow and mow it once?"
Oh,
I know. She doesn't understand. She's innocent.
Well, I've found, and this is annoying, that the longer I've lived here, the more disparate the growing speeds of certain sections of lawns are. So how do you, what do you do with that? Is it the old thing they used to do in convoys when they were, or in battles, the thing is always, your army always moves at the pace of its slowest members, right?
Mm.
So do I just mow when the slowest one gets to a certain size and the rest of it's crazy? Or what do I do about that?
I would think that, to Ellis's point, if you were to mow multiple times, like what, twice a week, are you saying? Twice a
Who's
week.
Who's got the time
well,
for that?
That was the recommendation. Well, this is the other thing.
Okay, so I would say that if you are mowing twice a week, the amount of grass that you are catching means that you're probably only doing one pass for each fill.
Well, how are you feeling about the catcher as well? This is something which I'm always, because there's a constant to catch or not to catch.
This is why we have Mo Council.
That's right.
Can I be the treasurer of Mo Council so I can just be called Mo Money?
So what do you do with the grass? Do you then rake it? Do you rake it?
Well,
to
this is
it?
No. Well, there's a school of thought that this puts the nutrient. Well, it revitalizes your soil, but then you need to scarify as well. You need to do that probably four times a year. Then if you're not catching.
But are you talking about? Yeah,
I'm gonna just live text my dad and see what his opinion.
Oh yeah, former professional lawnmower
man, who once mowed 63 lawns in a week or something like that.
Oh jeez,
bloody hell!
And he's peak business.
Yes. To what you'd said before, that the grow rates dependent on where your grass is and what it's doing. My side lawn versus my front lawn are like two completely different countries.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Like the side lawn, lush, beautiful, spectacular. Front lawn, you can, like, depending on how hot it is, you can see where all of the drainage from the house and from the street is actually underneath the lawn.
Oh.
That's how low some of the stormwater drains are. It's crazy. It's upsetting.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any more from Mo Council before we move on?
No, I'll give you an update, a Mo update later.
All right. Can I just say, just to put a bow on Mo Council for this episode, that the Dad Pants podcast extends a hearty congratulations to Phil Gregory from Western Australia.
Absolutely.
Who won Australia's best lawn. So he won the
Thing of Beauty.
Yeah. Yates National Gardening League Award for best lawn in the country. And he's got a $2,000 cylinder mower. So nice. I mean, we want to know the tricks of this guy's trade. Obviously, he spends about 2 to 3 hours on his lawn every week, apparently. He mows every day or two. And he has a ruler and height bar that he uses to make sure the grass is the right height.
That's a bit... I think, is the moment where he's just gone
slide
too
over
far.
Dad.
Yeah.
Well, it comes back to my question of how do you have the time to do that?
How many kids has he got?
Yeah,
kids, good question.
Wife,
maybe he doesn't have any.
Partner.
Maybe the lawn is his child.
What's happening there?
Has he got a pool?
Job. Does he have a pool?
I don't know how he'd be able to afford the water bill for what he must put into watering the lawn, plus a pool. But anyway, Phil Gregory, well done to you.
Well done.
Yeah, well
congratulations.
Done.
I did see a photo of that lawn, and it did look spectacular.
Yeah, it's a spectacular lawn. Like,
yeah.
I just say, I don't think that's over-dadding. I think that's peak dadding.
Yeah.
Matt's Health Corner.
Hello, bowel screening update. How are you going, boys? Have you done your bowel screening yet?
No.
No. Wigo? No.
No. Ellis, will we make a pact on Dad Pants right now that before the end of the year we will have done...
Before the end of the year.
Well, the best thing about that is that if you send it off now, it's probably going to sit in a lab fermenting over Christmas shutdown.
Oh, yeah. in the heat.
Now, it depends if they've got...
It's going to come back and it'll say, no traces of blood.
Yeah.
Plenty of ham. Ham reading high.
We think you need to hydrate.
He's 90%. He's 90% poor.
I think this guy had a big fat seam in his
90% fat vein. Yeah.
Oh, so, gross. Yes.
I suppose it would depend.
Estimated
also.
Time till death: 3 weeks.
Hopefully, they haven't got a cold war going with open windows there, because that could really upset the temperatures of the samples. Anyhow. Are they still sitting next to your toilets, fellas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine's actually next to the bed.
Yeah, I'm looking at one right now. It's next to the bed. It's Justine's. She keeps staring at it, putting it off. She said...
Really? That's surprising.
This is why I wanted to bring it to your attention. So, it's... For a woman, it's like conceiving. You can't do your poo test... Why on your period?
Ah,
and you can't do it like 5 days either side of your period,
right?
Right.
So there is a sliver
like conception. Yeah,
there's a sliver of time.
So instead of getting an alarm on your phone saying you're at peak fertility, for conception, she needs to measure your poo. But that's not the thing that's stopping her. The thing that's stopping her is the fact that she has always been. And will always be an excellent student and wants to do a quality
best job.
She wants her poo to be quality when she does it.
Matthew, you have to do something for me.
I do feel a little bit of that.
Buckland,
you want me to
film it?
No. But I would like her to keep a diary of just like...
Yeah, the log
scores.
The log, exactly like... What's the thought process? How's she prepping? Yeah. When's she going to know that it's the right time? And is that a feeling thing, or is that a looking at the results thing and going, yes, that one's going
to
do it?
Well, this is only going to put it off for months. She'll have to work out the patterns, days, cycles, poo cycles, first menstrual cycles. All of this stuff is now encroaching into her inability to just go and do it.
I think
so. It's going to be the 12th of February, 2027.
Well, she's doing it before she turns 46 in the end of August.
All right.
Well, I'm going to do it.
Day 32.
We need a dump diary.
The opportunity is closing. The poop is closing. I've eaten nothing but porridge for 3 days. I think I might have overdone it.
Well, the problem is, she says...
I need to go to the deli and get myself some good salami.
She's already said she's got to the point where sometimes she poops and then looks back and goes, should have done that.
Regret. I want to read about the regret in the dump diary.
Regret.
Yeah.
So, that's where she's at. Is what she's a high achiever. She wants a rubric and she wants to be getting top scores.
We can give her a fake name and publish it.
You're not taking a photo and pinning it to the sample.
Maybe she will.
Has she got the rings like the umpires do? Like, does the poo need to go through the ring or through the tube?
Or does she know how little of it is actually going to make its way to?
She's got it in her mind though of doing it. So I said what she wants is them to write back to her and say,
"Well done,
yes, you're clear, but also excellent specimen, like the best one we've seen."
A
like,
plus.
That's what you want. Yeah, A plus.
Stu, can you jig up a certificate, please?
We need the it's like the rhythmic gymnastics of pooping. It's just going through the hoops and around the doing some ribbon dancing with the toilet paper in the bowl.
We could do this. Let's just make a certificate, and then you could say, "Look, I don't ordinarily open things addressed to you, but I don't, this one I did. But here it is. You got sent this.
That's right. Well done."
And it had a stamp on the like. It had a wax seal on the back of it
on the turd.
There's a picture of the king looking at it,
doing a turd.
With his sausage fingers.
Just... Oh, holding it. How could you tell what was what?
Yeah, that's right. How would you know which is which? Is that the goal? If you can put like one of the king's fingers.
I don't know. I think I don't know if she'd take that as a compliment or not, but like Joss is an honorary dad here, I think, with the level of thought she's putting into this. Oh god. All right. Is that Matt's health corner for this episode?
Yep, that's it. I'll keep you updated. She's got till the end of August next year, so she's got a lot of time.
I mean, she could record some dump diaries and we'll play them out here on this podcast.
Well, what I'm planning to do is, if I do say this quietly, is actually wrap it up as a present and give it to her for Christmas. Just sitting there.
I wanted to talk about this social media ban that's come in for under 16s, but that's a serious topic and we don't have time for it.
No, we don't have time.
Really? Nor do I have much to say outside of, I don't know.
The shrug. Yeah. I think it'll have an impact for those who don't have social media yet.
Right, yes.
Okay. The ones that do are going to try and work out, and from what I can gather so far, it hasn't really worked in terms of cutting people off.
I was going to say, has anyone been booted? Like,
small percentage. Noelle said a couple of her friends, but it's I think it maybe the impact will be the people that don't have it.
From what I can see,
the platforms are doing a very perfunctory job.
But anyway, we don't want to get too much into detail. Seems perfunctory all around.
Because Wigo said he's got a good dad story for us, and we need to hear that before we go.
Mm.
Thank you, Stu.
Can you read out the message you sent us? Because that was some top grade sizzle.
Ah.
I can. Let me find it.
Sorry.
Just need to work our way back through various inappropriate memes and cricket talk.
I'm just going to look at Phil Gregory's lawn while you're doing that. We go. It's all good.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Have I got a story for you lot?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether to be proud or hand in my dad card for review.
That's a big sizzle.
That is excellent.
Hand in your dad card.
Yeah, tell us. Well, tell us, Wiggins.
Is
tell us, Tandy.
Ears open.
It's Tandy time.
It's Tandy time.
Tandy time, yeah.
My son recently turned 14 and requested tickets to see, what's his name?
Kendrick.
Charlie Kirk. No.
That was a fun funeral.
I'll get that out, sorry. I have a habit of if someone pauses trying to fill it with something stupid, and that's the first thing that came to mind, bizarrely.
Okay.
Anyway, sorry.
So, asked for Kendrick tickets.
Hmm.
He got two Kendrick tickets for his birthday from his sister, Jasmine, and she had purchased them off someone else. Now, prior to the day, accessing these tickets was incredibly difficult.
Hmm.
Okay. Doing a transfer to a transfer to a transfer with Ticketek was a very difficult situation. And basically, I was taking Linz and Lou to Sydney and dropping them off, then going and visiting some family, then coming back and collecting them, and then taking them home. That was the plan. Plan was in place. The tickets, we did not get them until 3:30 that afternoon. Afternoon of leaving.
Dadxiety?
Who had more anxiety in that situation?
Linz and Lou.
Yeah.
I wasn't directly affected, so apart from travel time. So we organised to leave and we left home for between 7 and 8 o'clock start, probably, like, doors opened at 5:30. The opening act went on at 7. So we thought, probably between 7:30 and 8:30, Kendrick will go on. So We jumped in the car. Harves and Rose decided to come as well. So we had a family trip down to Sydney.
Right.
So we go and drop off Linz and Lou at Olympic Park and went for a drive off to visit some family about half an hour away. Now, at that stage, 20 minutes into the drive, I get a phone call from Linz. And I'm like, hey, what's going on? She said, we're in the wrong spot. And I said, sorry? She went, yeah, we're supposed to be at Allianz, not at Accor.
Oh no. So explain that for non-Sydney people.
Okay, so I had dropped off my wife and child at his first concert at the wrong stadium, 45 minutes away from where they needed to be, at peak hour.
Yep.
Basically, then having to go back. So he turned around.
What time is this, sorry?
Great question, Matthew.
I was going to say.
This was at, what time was it, 5:30? Nearly 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
And we were able to collect them and get them to Moore Park for 7:15. They walked in. So I dropped them off at Captain Cook, walked in. They walked up to the highest level of
high up.
Allianz that you can get to. And Lou had an amazing time. Had an absolutely amazing time.
How did you manage this?
Well, we then went away, went and visited family, and then came back and literally drove into Moore Park, drove around the block once. Linz and Lou walked out of the stadium, walked across the road, up to a corner, jumped in the car, and we went home. Now, my question to you guys is, do I have to put my dad card up for review for not checking where the concert actually was prior to leaving the house? Or am I let off because of the time factor? I had left so much time
this is a tricky one.
Then be able to not only go back and pick them up, but get them there with time to spare.
That depends.
Well, was it your responsibility to check the venue? Surely that's the ticket holder's responsibility to know where the fuck they're going, and you just getting them to the right place. Like, was this that's a pretty big bit of confusion going on there.
Pretty
like,
big gap.
Unless they assumed that you knew, and no one actually mentioned.
See, this is the dad.
Venue.
This is the dad card thing.
Correct.
They just dad knows. They're not looking.
But
Lou's
also,
not looking. That's not his job. He just goes where I'm going here and away I go.
But didn't Linz realize you were driving the wrong way?
She hadn't checked either, Stu. Oh. So we'd we.
Oh,
so,
but you also got the tickets 3:30 that
at
day.
At 3:30, right. So
gone
we
in your
we
head,
got the tickets
you've
and
in
we're
your
like,
head where it is? Yep, that's where it'll be.
Yep.
And then 3:30 that day, you've got the tickets.
Correct.
And your planning with the family and all that would have been based on that as well.
Correct. So there was the what is it? The assumption waterfall, where I've assumed one thing, everyone else has believed that I knew what I was doing, and so every other decision that got made from there was based off the incorrect information.
Yeah.
And no one bothered to check. But
if Dad's dropping us off here. He knows what's going on.
Exactly.
What conversation
was? I'm still kind of a bit flummoxed by the not knowing the difference between the two venues. Like
because Ellis, the focus wasn't on the venue; it was actually getting the ticket.
The time. Well, just getting.
Just getting the ticket.
I had assumed that it was going to be at Olympic Park. That was my assumption. I didn't check.
Just an assumption. Yeah.
Vocalized with the
family. I'd said this.
But
I had said
the focus is getting the tickets. We got the tickets.
Yes.
Yes, they're real. We're going to go.
Correct.
Don't even look at anything else.
No. Fuck. We've got them. They're real.
Yeah.
Get out the car.
Yeah.
I want to know how you got from, again, sorry, non-Sydney people, but got from Acor to Allianz in time.
Oh.
That's RDT planning, right?
Yeah, this is...
Yeah.
We were actually pretty lucky.
Going against the traffic, maybe.
Yeah, going against a bit of the traffic until we got into Sydney.
Of course.
And then everyone was going to Kendrick.
Yeah,
right.
Now, you could have just let them out and they could have walked up cricket style. That's the easy part.
Okay.
It's a bit of a danger, really, for you to say, well, everything worked out because we followed my RDT planning, because they could come back and say, well, we only needed it because of that mistake.
Yeah, you're only handing in your card if they didn't make the concert.
Yeah, I agree.
And even though it'd be their fault as well for not checking.
Just going to put it out there, I don't think it's your fault. I think the ticket holder has a responsibility, regardless of what time you get the tickets. If you think you know you're going to a concert, you've got a responsibility to know where it is. And that may be harsh, I'm sorry, but that's where I'm landing on the whole thing.
Yeah.
I think ticket holder, responsibility, know where you're going. You're merely the transport.
There's no negative. At worst, you're at zero because...
Yeah, you're net zero.
You made the wrong assumption, but your RDT ensured that it didn't cost anybody.
Did you sense, here's more importantly, did you sense any frustration from wife and child directed at you for the error?
No.
No.
I drove straight into the crash when they got back in the car.
Right, I bet.
And
it was just hiding as fuck to get there.
Well, and also just to add a little bit of extra mayo to the story, Louis has a stress fracture in his foot and was wearing a boot.
Moon boot, yeah.
So that was just a little added extra.
Oh, he's got a story. First concert. Just, story.
Here's what I want to hear. Did either Lindsay or Louis say, oh, we could have checked the venue as well, I suppose?
Yep.
Okay, good. All right, then...
Yeah, there was no finger pointing or anything along those lines. It was just, this was more of my own question to you, to you three, as to what the...
No.
Worst case, net sum zero, but I'd say that you've done your dadly duties.
All you've done is
prove... Yeah, especially because you're not going. Like, that's the key.
That's it.
Like you're all going and you'd be like, oh, I didn't even check.
Yeah, and that's it. Yeah, if you're going as well, then I'd
your
be saying...
Dad your dad job is I've got my dad job. Transport. I'm going to do that to the best of my abilities.
And you did.
With bonus.
Yeah, with bonus travel.
All you've done is prove what we've been prattling on about for more than a year now, probably the value of RDT.
Yeah.
That's it.
Going super early and being there.
Yep. Or even if it's the wrong place.
Because
then
the
you've got time to be in the right place.
You get to the airport and they're like, no, you're meant to be a domestic, not international. All right, we've got seven hours to get there. It's fine.
Keep your dad card, Wigo. You've done the right thing.
Thank you. I've got it in my Google wallet.
Yeah. Well, is that us done?
I believe so. I've got to go and eat.
Yeah, me too. I
go to bed.
After a ham sandwich.
Congrats to me for not whinging about the fact that Wigo's tried to outdad us by wearing a high-vis shirt to this.
High-vis.
Podcast recording. A couple of quick podcasts you can listen to. The Stupid Stew Pod has just finished its first season, so you can go and binge those if you feel like something silly to listen to. There's also Wind in the Willow on the What's the Go feed. That's a bit of cricket chat from us peoples. If you're into your cricket and want to hear even more of a pile on to the Poms than has been on any other cricket podcast that's been going on.
Absolutely.
And lastly, have a bloody good Christmas to everyone.
Yes.
Merry Christmas.
Ham it up.
Yeah.
Ham it up.
I'll say it every year, Boxing Day, the best day of the year, drink a litre of water when you wake up.
Oh, that could be Justine's bow screen day.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
Make notes about what your dads are doing. We want to hear about Christmas dads in January. And very good bye to everybody. What a weird sentence.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
kind of time do you call this?
This is an Angry Chimp podcast.